Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your psalm books and turn to Psalm 411. Psalm 411 in your psalm books. We'll sing Hold the Fort. And if you would stand, we'll sing Psalm 411. Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus' signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus' signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. See the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow. In our leader's name we'll triumph over every foe. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus' signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven, grace we will. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander, cheer my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus' signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just want to thank you, God, for another Sunday morning that we get to meet in your house and to hear your word preached. I pray, Lord, now that you would just be honored and glorified out of everything that's said and done. We love you, Lord, for us in Jesus' name we ask all of it. Amen. All right, you may be seated and take your Mountain Baptist psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalm books. Your Mountain Baptist psalm books and turn to page number 5. Page number 5 in your Mountain Baptist psalm books. We'll sing Psalm 81. Psalm 81 on page number 5. And page number 5. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I deliver thee. I answer thee in the secret place of thunder. I prove thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah, hear my people.
And I will testify unto thee, O Israel, without hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up into their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people hearken unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey. Out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Out of the rock should I have satisfied thee.
Amen. Well, welcome to Mountain Baptist Church. On this Sunday morning, it's a beautiful Sunday morning. I think it's supposed to get up to like 60 degrees today, so hopefully we'll get into the warm weather this spring. But as far as announcements go, one, be in prayer for all the men and everybody that's out on the mission field, and we have those in Belize, but also in India. So Brother Wade, Brother Richie are in India, and then Brother Nick, Charles, David, Brother Dustin. They're out in Belize. Is there anyone else out in Belize? Or is those the four? I think it's them. Yeah, okay. But praise the Lord, souls are being saved out in those areas. So just be in prayer for them, safety out there, safety getting back, all of that. And so as far as services today, everything should be normal. So we'll have our service right now. We'll have our soul winning time at 1 p.m. So if you want to go out soul winning, meet up here a little before 1 o'clock. We'll get teamed up and go out soul winning. And then we'll have an afternoon service at 4 p.m. This week, obviously, with all the men that do the original soul winning times, those aren't happening this week. But I'll say this, if you want to go out soul winning and at any of these times, get a hold of me, Brother Dave, we can fill in there if anybody's wanting to go out during the week and all of that. So just let us know on the church group there, and we'll make sure if you're wanting to go, we'll go. So just let us know all of that this week. And then prayer meetings on here. So April 21st for the women's, the men's on the 26th. And then soul winning marathons on the list here upcoming. April 27th in Nitro, West Virginia. Brother Jim's leading that one up. And then brother, what's your name? He's not even listening to me right now. So Brother Chris is leading up the Lancaster soul winning marathon in May, so that May 25th, and we're going to be trying to target the Amish area, but we're also going to have other areas as well when it comes to that. June, there's going to be one in Philadelphia. Brother Charles is heading that one up, and so plenty of soul winning marathons coming up as far as if you want to be a part of any of those. So, and then on the back of your bulletin there, we're in Jonah chapter 3, memorizing the book of Jonah. This month we're in chapter 3. Memory verse for the week is Matthew 24 and verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. So pertinent for the sermon that I had this morning. But good verse to have memorized there. Birthdays, I think the only one that's on the that for be this week is Brother Dan. We'll have to get him later. And the rest will be, well, we have two next week, and so And then we have on the pregnancy list, Crystal McCloy, so be in prayer for her and the McCloy family there. Be in prayer for all the ladies that just had little ones during the recovery process and all that there. Trying to think. If I had any other announcements, it would go into my sermon. I don't want to start preaching my sermon right now. So, Brother Dave's going to come and sing one more song. Brother Anthony's going to be reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 after that, and then we'll get into the sermon.
All right, take your songbooks and turn to song 208. Song 208, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. We don't have any birthdays? No birthdays this week. Brother Joseph, we could sing for you this week if you want to rush that along. Next week? Okay. All right, we'll do it next week then. All right, we'll do song 208. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. A veil to wash it away. Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 in your Bibles, and we'll have Brother Anthony come and read that for us. Okay.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible reads, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs of lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for this morning where we can gather and we hear from your word. I pray that you would be with Pastor Robinson, fill him with your Holy Spirit, and help us all to be edified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So you're there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the name of the sermon is "Let No Man Deceive You." And this sermon kind of stems from just recent things that are about to happen. There's an eclipse that's going to happen tomorrow. And just to be honest with you, you know, I was excited about it. You know, we got the glasses, you know, all that stuff. I've seen eclipses before in my lifetime. But, you know, there's all these, like, crazy YouTube stuff. And, like, basically there's preachers out there saying it's the end of the world, the rapture's happening, all that stuff. And I was at the gym, and a guy came up to me. He's like, "You ready for the end of the world on Monday?" I'm like, "What?" Like, not even, like, thinking about it at all. I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And all the eclipse, I'm like, no, not at all, you know. And what I want to get into is that, one, there are a lot of false teachers out there. And end times prophecy is probably, if you're going to, there's two big pileups. There's false teachers when it comes to, like, salvation. And don't get me wrong, most of these people that are teaching false on end times are in that group, right? But you have all that, you know, with the repent of your sins, you can lose your salvation, like all that stuff. But then over here, you have all these false teachers when it comes to end times prophecy. And this is something that I think the reason for that is because there's an appeal to it. Everybody wants to know, like, hey, when's this going to happen and all of that stuff. But know this, is that most of the stuff you see online or on TV, I'll say this, most everything that you see on TV is false.
Amen.
Right. Listen, TV preachers. And I was just, doing this sermon because of the stuff that was kind of coming at me, or just people saying stuff about it. And I was looking up, you know, stuff about solar eclipses and blood moons, and which is just lunar eclipse type stuff. And to the point where I had a dream about John Hagee. So I want you to know where I'm at right now, okay? I had a dream that John Hagee came to church. And I'm like, "What are you doing here?" And I'm like, "How do you know who I am?" He's like, "Oh, I know you." So I had to kick him out, told him he's going to hell, all that stuff. But anyway, so that's where I'm at right now. I woke up with that dream in my mind because I was looking up blood moons. Anytime I hear blood moon, then, you know, I think of him. Because he had this whole thing. And listen, the Bible talks about prophets. When they prophesy something that they say this is going to come to pass and it doesn't come to pass, then know that's a false prophet. And it's crazy to me that John Hagee and all these preachers can make all these predictions. What's that, Robert Breaker? Like, how many times has he said the rapture is going to happen? The chipmunk guy, right? The guy with the chart behind him, with the beard and all that stuff. How many times has he said the rapture is going to happen and it doesn't happen, and then he's just like, well, you know, that was just a possibility. And then he goes on the next one. Who's watching that guy still, right? How many times? It's like the Seventh-day Adventists, you know, when it comes to Jesus coming back. It was supposed to be in, what, 1880-something or something like that, or whatever it was, and didn't happen. Then it was the next time, then it was the next time. Like, at what point do you be like, I think they don't know. I think they're making stuff up. And so, these people online, they don't know what they're talking about. And by the way, all those people that I mentioned to you are unsaved. Amen. So you don't want to get information from unsaved people when you're dealing with end times prophecy. But know this, is that go to Romans chapter 16. I want you to keep your fingers there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to be getting back to that. Is knowing that there are false teachers out there that are trying to deceive you. Okay? And so these people are out there. It's very evident. And when it comes to end times prophecy, they just pile up because they can make a lot of money off of it. Okay? And that's what it really comes down to, is that they're trying to profit off of the interest of end times prophecy. And they could just be making up stuff, or they're, you know. Anyway, so I'm in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And what you have to understand is that every good lie is mixed with truth. Meaning this is that, like, basically, the reason that people believe it is because there's some truth mixed into it, right? So they'll say, well, the sun's being darkened. It's like the Bible talks about the sun being darkened. Okay, that's where that ends, by the way. Okay, as far as this correlation of end times prophecy, but I'm going to be getting into, like, when does the Bible even talk about the sun being darkened, and how that doesn't make sense with anything that they're saying. And but also, know this, go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, is that they're trying to deceive the hearts of the simple. And what this really comes down to is you need to know what the Bible says on this issue. Because when you know what the Bible says on end times prophecy and the timing and the seasons and the things to be looking for, then when they come out with this stuff, you're just like, you're an idiot, right? You're wrong. Like, that has nothing to do. Listen, if I had a dime for every time I've heard someone say that Gog and Magog had some relevance to our end times prophecy right now, I'd be a rich man. They'd be like, well, Gog is Russia, and Russia is, you know, Putin, and Putin's doing this, and Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog isn't relevant until 1,000 years after Jesus Christ comes back the second time. That's when Gog and Magog is mentioned. So how does Gog and Magog have any relevance to Jesus coming back right now? So that type of stuff is like, if you just know that, right, Revelation 20, Gog and Magog is after Satan is bound for 1,000 years in hell. And he's loosed, and then Gog and Magog come into the picture. Guess what? We don't have to really worry about that. We're already in resurrected state, been reigning, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years with Christ before that ever happens. So why would I even care what Gog and Magog has to do with end times prophecy? Now, don't get me wrong. You know, it's interesting to look at that, just as much as it's interesting to look at, you know, what's going to happen at the very end. Even if it doesn't pertain to the near future, okay? So in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, specifically, I believe that's dealing with the gospel and how they're perverting the gospel. And the Bible says, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. And so, obviously, there's people that are perverting the gospel, trying to teach that it's not by grace, that you need to be circumcised to be saved, you need to keep the law to be saved, and obviously, let those false teachers be accursed. But then it goes on to say here in verse 3, it says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And you may ask yourself, you know, why do these people bring up all this stuff in end times prophecy? Because they want clicks, because they want money, they want monetizing their videos, they want to sell their book about the 10 blood moons or something like that that's happening over Jerusalem. Listen, by the way, when John Hagee preached about this blood moon stuff happening, I don't even know what year it was, but it was like at least 4 years ago, right? Something like that. And it's like, it was going to be in fall, and nothing happened. We're still here. The Lord hasn't returned yet. And nothing happened, but his reasoning was like some bird, like, crapped on the temple of, you know, like on the mosque out there in Jerusalem, and therefore that was it. That was the fulfillment. I don't know if that was it exactly. Something about like some kind of, something fell apart, plaster fell off. I don't know what happened. It was something so ridiculous. And people are just like, oh, yeah, you know. Yeah, that makes sense. The coming of Christ, some plaster fell off the roof. Or like a truss fell apart on a mosque. And so they'll still continue, and people are still listening to them and still listening to their, you know, stupid theories. But I want you to think about this, okay? Solar eclipses. Do you know how often solar eclipses happen? 2 to 3 times a year. 2 to 3 times a year. You say, well, this is different. This is a total solar eclipse, okay? You know how often those happen? Almost once a year. It's like every 18 months, or it varies, right? So it's like 2 times every 3 years, essentially. A total solar eclipse. Here's the issue, though. It doesn't happen in the same spot every 2 years, okay? And you've probably seen the map where the solar eclipse is going from up from Texas coming up. And, you know, we're going to be seeing like 90%. And I know some are traveling, you know, obviously to see 100%, like where the path is going, right? As far as you get to see the total eclipse there. And what they'll do is they'll say, well, listen, this is a once-in-a-lifetime event because this only happens every 400 years. Yeah, in that one location. And so they somehow like weave it into like this is some special event. It's like, no, it's going to happen next year, probably, another 18 months, just in a different location. So same thing with lunar eclipses. You know, so lunar eclipses is how you get a blood moon, okay? And a lunar eclipse happens, or a blood moon, if you will, happens 2 or 4 times a year. 2 to 4 times a year. But John Hagee's just like, there's a blood moon. It's like, what else is new? Like, why is this such a big deal? And the question you have to ask yourself is like, why is everybody making a big deal out of this? Well, I think that obviously eclipses are cool, right? They're cool to see. And I'm not here to say like, hey, you're excited to see the eclipse, get right with God, you know? I'm excited to see it. I mean, like, listen, I've never seen an eclipse when I was younger. There was one just, like, 2017. I remember going outside my office and looking up at the sky and burning out my retinas. I think someone had glasses, honestly. I think it's cool to see. I think it's cool to see blood moons. It, you know, God's creation is amazing. Amen. Okay? But to attach everything to Bible prophecy and to, like, end times prophecy, it's basically like whatever they can find to grab onto, to get clicks, to get people to listen to them, and to get fame off something, they'll do it. And it's annoying, to say the least, okay? Because when someone said that to me, you're like ready for the world to end at the gym, I'm like, didn't think. I'm more concerned about my chickens getting taken by predators, okay? That's like my main concern right now because I got to put out some traps, and like that's what's going through my mind. You know, or what I'm going to eat tomorrow. Like, literally, is probably on higher on the list than my concern about the world ending tomorrow. And what I want to preach is that the world will not end tomorrow. Amen. Guaranteed, the world will not end tomorrow because certain things have to happen before that can happen. Okay? So, Joel chapter 2, and here's the thing. Like I said, everything is mixed in. Every deception has a little truth mixed into it. Go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 and verse 31. Joel chapter 2 and verse 31. I'm going to stop searching blood moons and eclipses for a long time because I don't need John Hagee in my dreams. In defense of Israel. I'm going to shake Christian theology. Like, listen, if anybody is telling you that you're going to shake Christian theology, you should probably beware, right? Like, I got something new for you tonight. Got some new revelation. It's like, you should probably be like, I'm out of here. So in Joel chapter 2 and verse 31, again, every deception is mixed with truth. And listen, know this is that, you know, even, you know, rat poison and things that you would use to kill animals, most of it's good food with some poison mixed in. Same thing with when it comes to people that preach false gospels, because it's just like, well, yeah, it's by grace, it's by faith, and it's just, it's faith alone, except faith works. Except faith is never alone. It's like, what? It's always like a lot of truth, and they'll use verses and stuff like that, and then they just put in that poison. And so the same thing applies with end time stuff, because Joel chapter 2 and verse 31, it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the dread and the terrible day of the Lord come. That's true. Okay? The sun's going to be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the day of the Lord, right? Before the day of the Lord. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But you know what's funny about this? Is the same people that will, I'm going to show you these passages that we believe and that the Bible teaches very clearly, that teach about the coming of the Lord, are using these passages to say that this eclipse is like the rapture's coming. And then the next minute they'll say, that's not the rapture though. That's not the rapture. That's his second coming when he's coming on a white horse. That's not the rapture, because that means it's after the tribulation. It's like, you got to choose, buddy. You're like, you got to choose. Like, if you're going to use this eclipse to say that the day of the Lord's happening, then you have to say that it's Matthew 24 and we're right about it. But I'll say this. A lot of stuff has to happen from now until tomorrow before this could happen. I was joking with my younger brother. I was at the gym. I'm like, Justin, a lot of stuff has to happen. I mean, World War III has to happen. The Antichrist has to show himself. He's got to die. He's got to rise from the dead. Like, there's a lot. I mean, this is going to be a busy weekend. It's a busy weekend before the Lord comes back. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now, is there any doubt of what the subject is? The coming of Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. What is the gathering? When we're caught up together with him in the clouds. The rapture. Okay? So, that's what we're talking about. It says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He's saying, don't be soon shaken, and don't even if there's a letter that looks like it's coming from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. Meaning this is that, what he's saying is that don't let someone make you think the day of the Lord is at hand. Okay? And he's going to give the reason why, that you should not be thinking that, or you should not be troubled about it, because, and what's at hand mean? It means like it's right there, right? This piano is at hand. Like hand length, right? It's right there. It's nigh. You know what the Bible's saying is? No, it's not. Notice what it says here in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, you say, well, what does that mean that he's revealed? Right? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that sentence isn't over. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I want you to think about this. From now until tomorrow, the temple needs to be built. The Antichrist needs to go in. He needs to die, by the way, because the Bible says that he's going to die. This chapter actually even talks about this, I believe. That he's going to have to die. He's going to rise again out of the bottomless pit. He's going to reveal himself, set up the abomination of desolation, and then there's got to be great tribulation, such as the world has never seen. Those days are somehow going to be shortened, even though it's not going to be even a day until tomorrow. Those days are going to be shortened, lest any flesh should be saved. When it says day, it really means hours, right? The hours are going to be shortened. So, I mean, what do we even really need to prepare for this? I mean, like, it's going to be like that. It's over. But obviously, there's stuff that needs to happen. You say, what's the falling away? I believe it's a major apostasy of Christianity and departing from the faith. Obviously, people aren't losing their salvation, right? But they went out from us because they were not of us. They went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us, meaning that there's going to be this great kind of falling away from Christianity, from the faith. That's going to happen, and the man of sin is going to be revealed, and that's where you're going to get this everybody worshiping the beast type of stuff and the end time stuff that's going to happen there. But isn't it very clear that the day of the Lord, listen, the sun is going to be darkened and the moon's going to be in blood before the day of the Lord, right? But before the day of the Lord can happen, all this stuff has to happen first, okay? And then it goes on to say in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And the thing that I want to get across here is that we should all know these things. This should be very clear. This should be very easy to understand that that day, and what day are we talking about? The coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto him, the rapture. That day cannot come, will not come, except there be a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And how is he revealed? By standing in the temple of God saying he is God. Let me ask you a question. Has that happened? Well, it secretly happened. It's like, well, that's not a big reveal then. The definition of reveal is that everybody knows it, right? That it's revealed. It's not secret. So, go on in verse 6 there. It says, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. Meaning that there's something withholding this from this man of sin being revealed. Okay? From this event happening, that has to happen. So basically, we know what's holding that event from happening, but then we also know that that event has to happen before the day of the Lord can happen. And then it goes on to say what that withholding is. In verse 7, it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, the mystery of iniquity, I did a whole sermon on that, dealing with the spirit of Antichrist and how the spirit of Antichrist, which should come, even now already is it in the world, and how the Antichrist is going to have to die and rise again and basically be taken out of the way, and then he's going to be revealed. Basically, they're going to worship him as he's God because he's the Antichrist. What does Jesus do? He dies, buried, his soul's not left in hell, neither his flesh to see corruption, rises again the third day. What's the Antichrist do? He mimics it. He mimics it. And then he's revealing himself and going into the temple saying he's God, he's the Christ, he's the Messiah, and he's, you know, what everybody's going to be worshiping. When I say everybody, obviously there's people that aren't going to, but a lot of the world's going to worship him. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Okay, so it's like these things have to happen before the wicked's even revealed, and the wicked man, the man of sin, has to be revealed before the day of the Lord can even happen. Does that make sense? Like these things happen, boom, boom, boom. These things have to happen before the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord is when we're gathered together unto him. So, and you can go on and read through there as far as like talking about what the Antichrist is going to do and all that stuff, and what the false prophet's going to do during that time. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, it says, let no man deceive you by any means. But go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Let's just do a tour de force through Matthew 24. And let's just go through it. And let's see if this eclipse makes any sense. Okay? As far as This is the sign. This is the sign that Jesus is coming back right now. What about last year? What about the year before? What about every year where there's been eclipses and blood moons? Why is this special? And I'm going to get to some of the thoughts that people have as far as why this one's special, okay? And, you know, I almost feel bad bringing it up, you know, because I don't want to, like, you know, when you bring up stupid stuff, sometimes you're just like, should I even mention that? Because they could have gone their life without having to hear it. But I think sometimes you need to see how stupid arguments are and just how, like, this stuff is out there to just know, like, hey, there's some really dumb arguments out there. There's people that are just stretching. And it's funny because Brother Abe was showing me a video of, like, this guy, like, talking about this eclipse. And at the end, he says, like, if you like this content, please subscribe. I'm like, there's why right there. That's exactly why. They're like, yeah, you like that? You like that content right there? Yeah, subscribe. I'll give you some more stupidity. And you might actually, I mean, I don't want to, you know, rail on the guy. But you know what? He's probably not far from being a flat earther at that point. I mean, like, basically, just anything that will get clicks, get people talking, you know, next thing is going to be Operation Fishbowl. But Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, it says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And notice what Jesus says here in verse 4. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, listen, obviously the word of God is magnificent and profound. But I want you to think about how much deception there is about end times prophecy. I want you to think about, like, how many people talk about this and are just completely off base, making up stuff, just all out in left field on this issue. And then think about what Jesus says. The first thing he says is that let no man deceive you. Amen. Why? Because there's going to be plenty of people deceiving you on this or trying to. Let no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. What you have to understand is that at the beginning of sorrows and all this stuff that happens, we don't really know whether we're going to be in that until afterwards. Because everything that's going on in that first 3.5 years is stuff that could happen through any time period, okay? And basically, he's like, wars and rumors of war, that's always happening, and therefore, you know, the end's not yet. And you know what? Jesus doesn't call the beginning of sorrows the end yet. It's not until a certain event happens. There's a pivotal moment that 2 Thessalonians talks about that Jesus is going to bring up. Is like, when you see this, though, it's like, you can see all this stuff happening. The end's not yet, right? You don't know, and you're not going to know. I mean, throughout the ages, I want you to think about this. Is there anything in this list that you could say, that any generation could say, yeah, this was going on? It says in verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. There was just a tsunami, which is earthquakes in diverse places, right? How long has that been going on for, though? Since the beginning of time, okay? Meaning this, that earthquakes, pestilences, famines. I mean, I'm reading through Genesis. Guess what? There's a pestilence. There's a famine that goes on in Joseph's day. Was that the beginning of sorrows? Was that the end? There's famines throughout the Bible. David's day, there was a famine. There's famines today. Like, none of this stuff is unique to our generation or to the end time generation. Now, I do believe, it says all these are the beginning of sorrows. I do believe that all that stuff that's listed there will be kind of magnified. Does that make sense? Like, it's going to be kind of on another level than maybe what it has been in the past. But are you really going to know? Like, we didn't live back in the bubonic plague and, like, all these different things to where we really know what it was like back then and to really compare it to what we're going through right now. So that's why he's basically like, don't let this trouble you, because it's just kind of like, may not even be in your time. You're basically being worried about something that this may just be stuff that's going on in your time. It has nothing to do with end time stuff. It's just going on. It says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now that will definitely happen in the end times, but guess what? That's already happened. That happened to the apostles. I mean, James, is he chopped liver when he's killed by Herod with the sword? Did that not happen to James? Did that not happen to men of God? Did Stephen not get martyred? Like, in the Bible? So, to look at this and be like, that's only end times. No, this stuff happened, still happening. It's just that we don't know at that time. These are all things that you could look at and be like, you know, maybe this is amping up. Yeah, hey, maybe this is a sign of the times. But you're not going to know that. No, I'm not making a YouTube video and be like, listen, that earthquake, that tsunami, the end's coming. We're in it now. Like, that's not any proof. And it says, keep reading there. In verse 10, it says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I mean, sure, there's plenty of false prophets out there right now. There's plenty, but know this, there's false prophets back in their days, back in the days before, and there shall be false teachers in your days. Is that something different? Like, no, there are going to be false teachers. I do believe it's going to be amplified, right? I do think it's going to be on another level maybe. But again, how do you know if it's on that other level or not? Hundreds of years have gone by where this stuff has been going on. You don't know that. And you're like, well, the history book says it. Well, I mean, you got to take history with a grain of salt anyway when it comes to what really happened back then or what did or didn't happen. We know what the Bible says, that stuff was happening. Happened after that, still happening today. It says in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So now we're getting into, okay, there's going to be this idea of the gospel being preached, that basically before the end comes, the gospel has to be preached to the whole world, okay? And I'll say this, is that in Paul's day, he stated that the gospel was preached to the entire known world, okay? I believe it's not saying that that means the end is coming. It's just more the fact that that has to be in place, though, right? That event, that has to be there for the end to come, for Jesus to come. But so that's kind of, okay, do we know that that's happened yet? You know, it's like, how do you really know that that's happened? That the whole world has heard the gospel and that the gospel has been preached to the entire world? I mean, are we going to really know, like there's a ticker of, like, we're almost there, like there's a thermometer on the wall of like, okay, we're almost there, you know, the whole world getting the gospel preached to them. I mean, what qualifies is that, right? I don't think that that means like every person's here to clear a presentation of the gospel, but I believe that every person's had a chance to hear the gospel. And then how do you graph that? You know, how do you know that that has happened, okay? Now, here's where, I want you to notice that he says, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, you know, like, the end's not yet. Be not terrified. You know, this has to happen first, right? And then notice in verse 15, there's a pivotal moment that happens here. When? Notice there's a time frame now. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Notice the difference about what's being said there. It's like, this is going to happen. And then he explains, you know, wars, rumors, nation shall rise against nation. The end's not yet, though. This is the beginning of sorrows. Even during the beginning of sorrows, I believe Jesus is saying, the end's not yet. Like, you can't even if you're 3.5 years, like you're 3 years into the beginning of sorrows, I believe that Jesus is saying the end's not yet, though. But when you see the abomination desolation, and isn't that the pivotal moment in 2 Thessalonians when it says, what has to happen before the day of the Lord? What has to happen? What are you looking for to happen? Well, a falling away, which I think is a little more, you know, kind of harder to maybe pin down and be like, yeah, that's the falling away. But something that's not hard to know for sure is when you see the Antichrist standing in the temple of God saying that he's God. And that everybody's worshiping him because he came back from the dead. Okay? That is the pivotal moment to where people are going to be like, yeah, we're going to be like, yeah, we're at the end. It's the end. So a lot of people will ask me, like, well, do you think that we're in the end times, you know, because there's these wars and stuff like that? I'm like, I have no idea. Just to be honest, like, I don't know. Do I think it's possible to happen in our days? Of course. I think it's possible. I think everything is set up to basically get a one world currency and one world government. I mean, you had the League of Nations back after World War I. You have the United Nations after World War II. Have World War III. I believe it's going to be the new world order. It's going to be the one world government. That's what I think will happen. But here's the thing. Doesn't mean I know that that's what's going to happen, though. Maybe it's World War IV or five or six or seven, you know. I believe it could happen in my days, but I'll say this, is that nothing right now that I see is for sure end times. Nothing that I see is for sure end times. Listen, there's been ebbs and flows of, you'd be like, well, you know, the sodomy. Don't get me wrong. And I'm going to get the verses on that, like the signs of the times. Sodomy is definitely a sign that we could be approaching to the end. But listen, there's been ebbs and flows of sodomy throughout history. Look at the Greeks, look at the Romans. And, you know, all that, I get it that we're empire, and therefore that's probably getting closer to the end because you have the seven-headed dragon. I get it, okay? That's why I believe it could be in our day. I believe America is that final head of the dragon, that final Babylon, if you will. But in the end, there's been ebbs and flows of that type of stuff throughout history of, you know, more righteousness, going down into depravity, coming back up to righteousness, all that stuff, okay? So how do you know that that's the time yet? And go to Matthew chapter 24, and let's keep reading there, okay? Matthew chapter 24 and verse, I think I left off on 21 there, where the then shall be great tribulation. Now, I want to ask a question here. Did you see anything about the sun, the moon, or the stars yet? Nothing. Nothing's mentioned about the sun, moon, and stars. So, let me ask you a question. If this solar eclipse is Jesus coming back, where was the great tribulation? Where's the abomination of desolation? I mean, if this is the great tribulation, that was kind of anticlimactic. Like, such as the world has never seen. I just ate steak last night. Had good fellowship. If that's the great tribulation, then, you know, I kind of prepared a little too hard for it. And I'm being facetious because obviously I know the great tribulation is going to be rough. It's going to be worse than the world has ever seen. That's why it's ridiculous to think that that has happened. Of course, none of these people are saying that because they're all just completely out in left field, just picking verses out of nowhere. Because the verse that I'm going to get to that would suggest the solar eclipse is way after a whole bunch of stuff has happened. Okay, so let's keep reading here. By the way, this is chronological. Anywhere in here do you think that Jesus is just like, hold on, let's jump into the past a little bit here and talk about something. Let's go to the way future over here and talk about this. No, it's just like, then this happens, then this happens, then this happens. Anybody with a fifth grade reading level, maybe less, could read through their hair and understand that this is in chronological order as far as events happening, and they're not going to be just like coming out with anything other than what's clearly stated in the text, okay? And so, reading there in verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Well, sorry, your eclipse doesn't work, because for days to be shortened, there has to be at least a couple days, right? I mean, probably at least 3 days, right, to at least say that there's still days, but it was shortened. So that's out the window. Well, it might have worked Friday, but it doesn't work right now, okay? But going on from there, it says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Which, by the way, the saved are not going to be deceived by the false prophet or the Antichrist. When people are just like, well, what do you, you know, you believe one saved, always saved. What do you believe about, you know, saved people taking the mark of the beast? They won't take it. Amen. It's impossible for a believer to take it, because you have to worship the beast. And the image is given power to kill anybody that doesn't worship the beast. Do you think that it's just a matter of you saying you worship the beast, that you're going to get the mark of the beast? No. They're going to know whether you're actually saved or not. And therefore, it's impossible for a Christian to even take the mark of the beast. So they put this hypothetical out there that doesn't even exist, so they can preach some false gospel about how you can lose your salvation. But it says in verse 25, behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Sound like the pre-tribulation rapture a little bit there? Oh, it's some secret rapture that's going to happen. You know, Jesus is warning against that. Because it says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Doesn't sound too secret to me. I don't know about you, but lightning storms aren't exactly cryptic. You know, they're not like some, like, hidden thing. It's like for every eye to see the lightning, right? Then it goes on to say, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Okay, we finally got to the sun being darkened. But guess what? None of that other stuff has happened yet. The abomination of desolation hasn't happened. We haven't seen some great tribulation such as the world's never seen. I mean, none of that has happened. And then it's after the tribulation that the sun is being darkened. And notice this, it says, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. If you don't see the rapture there, then your head is in the sand, and you've been deceived by some stupid doctrine called the pre-tribulation rapture, or you've been listening to some stupid person on TV or on YouTube that would teach anything different. The Bible is clear here. That it's after the tribulation, sun, moon are darkened, and then Jesus comes in the cloud. And guess what? The Bible says that the sun and moon are darkened before the day of the Lord. Amen. Guess what? This is the day of the Lord. So this has to, all these things have to happen before that, before you can get into this, okay, when it comes to the sun and moon being darkened and the rapture happening, which lines up with everything. Listen, everything that I preach to you, is there anything that's different? Is there anything you're just like, ah, you know, it doesn't kind of line up? It's actually hand in glove, isn't it? You're just like, that fits perfectly with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That day, that gathering together can't come until what? The man of sin is revealed. Read Matthew 24. Is there anything odd about that? No, because it says the abomination of desolation is set up in the holy place. And then there's a, you know, there's a great tribulation such as the world's never seen. And after that tribulation, the sun and moon are darkened. And then what do we see? Jesus coming in the clouds and gathering together his elect. No problem. I mean, anybody could read that. It's just so simple. So let me ask you, where is this idea of some eclipse, like, how would that work with any scripture that would happen? Now, let me just give you a little idea about eclipses here, okay? Now, a solar eclipse is when the moon is basically covering the sun, right? You have the earth, The earth is right here. This is very simple, oversimplified, right? The earth is right here. The sun's out there. And the moon is like right directly between the sun and the earth, right? That's how you get eclipses. But obviously that eclipse doesn't do the whole earth because the sun's really far away. The sun's just still going to get around it and get to most of the earth, right? It's not, the moon's not that big, okay? It's not just completely eradicating the sunlight on the face of the earth, okay? And that's why you have to travel to go see it, you know, total eclipse and all that, right? But this happens every year. It just may not happen totally, like a total eclipse in certain areas, but you're going to have an eclipse every year, okay? Now, I want you to think about this. There's, how many moons do we have? One moon, right? Now, I know that you don't like NASA, and, you know, NASA's like just like everybody just is against NASA, but I do believe that there's one moon, okay? And that moon is orbiting around Earth, okay? It's orbiting around Earth. Let's say the sun is out there where the sun's at, and you look outside, there's the sun, right? This is the Earth right here, and the moon's going around the Earth, right? So for there to be a solar eclipse, you have to have the moon right here, right? Here's the Earth. Here's the moon. It's blocking the sun to a certain extent on the Earth, right? To have a solar eclipse is the opposite. It has to be back here. And the Earth is now blocking the sun, okay? Because to get the sun, for the moon to show light, it's reflecting the sunlight, right? It's not actually producing light. It's reflecting the sunlight. So when it's back here, the Earth is lined up with the sun. The Earth is basically eclipsing it, which flat earthers, riddle me this. Why does an eclipse look round on the moon, okay, if the Earth is flat? Who said the thing about the turtle? Wade. He's just like, everybody's excited about the lunar eclipse because it's a turtle. With the Earth on top of it. So a lunar eclipse completely annihilates the flat Earth theory, by the way. Okay, but let me ask you a question. The sun's being darkened, and the moon is turned into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. This has to be a supernatural event, because you can't have a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse on the same at the same time.
That's right.
It's impossible. It's impossible to have that, okay? So, in order for that to be true, that when Jesus comes, both things are happening, it has to be a supernatural event. And here's the thing. I believe the entire earth is dark. I believe the entire earth sees the moon as blood. Not just some sliver of the U.S. that's seeing it. Or no one in the U.S. is seeing it because it's over there on the other side of the world. It's over Israel. You know, the important spot, you know. So this is obviously a supernatural event that's going to happen that is not, I don't believe, even dealing with an eclipse. Okay? Show me eclipse. Show me chapter and verse on eclipse. You'll see where the sun's being darkened, and you'll see the moon being in the blood. And we know that obviously an eclipse can cause things like that to happen, right? Go to Ezekiel chapter 32. Ezekiel chapter 32. I believe when Jesus died on the cross, when it says there was darkness over the whole land, I don't believe it was an eclipse. Okay? When there's an eclipse, who here has seen a total eclipse or seen an eclipse to a certain extent, right? Is it completely pitch black when an eclipse happens? No. It's darker, right? It's kind of like if you were to put sunglasses on, it's like shaded when you see it, okay? So a total eclipse doesn't just make it pitch black, because the sun is still, even when you look on your, you're going to look in your glasses, you're still going to see the sun around it, right? It's not just like you see a black dot up in the sky. Or you wouldn't have to wear glasses, right? Or, you know, like, it's just dark, right? You're like, oh, okay, it's dark right now. Don't get me wrong, it's still going to be cool to see and everything, but I believe that it's going to be dark, okay? Dark. When Jesus comes, it says he's going to come like lightning, going from the east to the west, okay? And what I believe is going to happen is you're going to have darkness in daytime, and then you're going to have like the blood moon thing happening in the other side of the world, okay? Because some people are, I don't know if you know this, but the earth is round. I've covered this before. The earth is round, and when Jesus comes back, some parts of the earth is going to be nighttime, some parts of the earth is going to be daytime. This obviously kind of messed with my kid's head when I was in Greece, and it's like pitch black where they're at, and it's daytime where I'm at, you know? But it's reality. In Ezekiel chapter 32 and verse 7 here, it says, "And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light." Notice, do you see an eclipse there? No, I see something else that's covering the stars. Think about this. The stars are going black. The sun is going dark. Like, the moon's not going to give her light. Like, that is a supernatural event. Here he's saying, like, it's like a cloud that's being put over it all. It says, "All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God." I don't believe this is just like the light's kind of decreasing a little bit. I believe you're dealing with darkness. Darkness is happening. Go to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. There's other ways that God can make the sun dark on the earth and the moon dark on the earth. It doesn't even have to be in outer space. It doesn't even have to be like outside of our atmosphere, okay, that this could happen to where he can make it dark. Okay? I mean, you've probably all seen like where you have these dark, ominous clouds where it was like light out and now it's completely pitch black out. Something like that could happen, right? Where it's like, I mean, the Bible even talks about the coming of the Lord and how it's going to be dark, thick clouds. I mean, the Bible actually gives us evidence about the clouds. I mean, it's talking about it here, but it also talks about it in other like minor prophets where it talks about how it's not going to be a day of light. It's going to be a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of thick clouds and darkness. Doesn't sound like an eclipse to me. And now maybe the sun's being taken care of by the clouds and you're having some lunar eclipse and that's how it's turning into blood. But listen, the lunar eclipse happens because of refraction around the earth, of the light coming around the earth, and that's what causes it to look red. Just as much as when you look at a sunset and it turns red, is because you're looking through the atmosphere and you have to go through a lot more of the atmosphere to see that light. And you're not seeing the blue light, you're seeing all the different types of light that's going through that, okay? So that's why you see those different colors when you see the sun where it's at in the sky, okay? Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 here, it says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." Have you ever seen a volcano, like when a volcano erupts? Well, it was Mount St. Helens. That was before I was born. But was it 1980? Was that when Mount St. Helens happened? All my old people tell me, testify. No, I'm just kidding. But I watch videos on it and stuff like that. But you know as well as I do. Anna, sit in the chair upright. Or Emma, whoever you are. Sit up. Sorry, Anna. You probably need to yell that too, anyway. But, like, ashes and stuff will literally cover the sky and block out the sun from a volcano, which is kind of what you kind of see here with the bottomless pit being opened up. It's kind of like a big volcano that's happening. So, when it comes to the sun, moon being darkened, who said it has to be an eclipse? Isn't that kind of being inferred? That an eclipse is what's going on there, even in that time. Both those can't happen at the same time. It's impossible, right? One moon. So you can't have a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse at the same time. So there has to be a supernatural event. So therefore, whether it's a blood moon or a solar eclipse, that doesn't tell. Listen, I'm not even, I'm not going to be looking on the calendar and be like, when is the next solar eclipse and when is the next blood moon, because I want to see what day the Lord could be coming back. Well, you're going to have like 2, 3, 6 times a year, whatever, because I don't know how, you know, the lunar eclipses obviously don't overlap with the solar eclipses. They can't. So let's say you had 2 every year solar eclipses. You had 2, just for the low numbers, you had 2 eclipses, solar eclipses, 2 lunar eclipses, like 4 times a year. I'm just like, which day is it? And I'm just mapping it out. You know, probably, especially since the Bible says that no man knoweth the day or the hour, right? Probably isn't going to be on any of those days. It's probably not going to be on any solar eclipse or any lunar eclipse because people will be looking for it. And so, know this, is that there's people out there that are trying to deceive. And the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to study these things out to know, like, hey, that's dumb, right? Someone's talking about a lunar eclipse. How would that pertain to, like, end times prophecy? Okay? Because that's what you have to ask yourself. Yeah, the Bible does talk about the sun being darkened. One, is it a solar eclipse? Right? Because I can see people going back in time and be like, well, when Jesus supposedly died on the cross, there wasn't a solar eclipse over that, so that can't be true. Who said it was a solar eclipse? You know, it's kind of like a false straw man argument. Because I can see, listen, an intelligent person would look at the Bible right here when someone's trying to say there's going to be a lunar eclipse and solar eclipse when Jesus comes back. And someone that knows anything about astrology is going to be astronomy, not astrology. We don't want to do that. You know, what's your sign? Anybody that knows anything about astronomy is going to be like, that's not possible. That would be an error in the Bible. Except for the fact that that's not even a thing. It's not even stating that at all. So, but if you know what the Bible teaches, then you're going to know, okay, one, it doesn't say solar or lunar eclipse. But two, that doesn't happen until way after all this other stuff has to happen. And obviously you have a bunch of people that believe in the pre-trib rapture. But it's funny because that Matthew 24 passage where it says immediately after the tribulation, and you shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, they'll say, well, that's not the rapture, because that would mean it's after the tribulation, right? That can't be the rapture. That's when he's coming on a white horse in Revelation 19. But the same people are like, see, the sun and moon are darkened before the day of the Lord, before Jesus comes in the clouds. It's like, well, which one is it, buddy? It's like whatever one, you know, works for your YouTube video. Whatever one's going to get you clicks. Whatever one's going to get you someone to watch your show, to buy your book about the blood moon feast or something like that. I don't know. The Bible says that we ought not to be children. It says in Ephesians 4:14, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We need to be simple concerning evil, the Bible says. Wise to that which is good, right? But we need to know the truth. And how do you, like I said, how are you going to know whether all this stuff is just like they're out to lunch or out in left field? If you know the subject well. If you know the subject well, it's kind of like when someone comes up to you with Gog and Magog, you're just like, that's wrong. Out of hand, you're like, I don't even need to hear your argument. If this is near future events, then you're out to lunch. You're like, solar eclipse means that that Jesus is coming back on Monday. You're out to lunch. You're like completely out to lunch. So, and let me give you some verses here that I think is interesting. How history repeats itself. Okay, go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And let me state this. There are signs of the times as far as the things to look for. But you know what the Bible says? It doesn't say looking for blood moons or solar eclipses or anything like that. It actually says that as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of... So you know what you should do? If it gives you that information, you should probably go back in the days of Lot and the days of Noah and see what was going on. What was going on in the days of Lot? Sodomy. I mean, that's where we get Sodom, you know, that's where we even get the term sodomy, is from Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed because of homos, right? I mean, that's straight up what it was. So you had that going on. And then Noah's day, what was the reason that God flooded the earth? No, you're wrong. It's giants. No, I'm joking. It was the Nephilim. No, it was. It was violence, right? But yeah, that's right. You know, violence. There was violence. And it just keeps saying that over. And their imagination was evil continually, right? So their imagination was evil continually. There was violence in the earth. There's sodomy going on. That's kind of what you're looking for, right? And again, that's not kind of an end-all because, like I said, there's kind of been ebbs and flows of that throughout history of violent kind of times and that type of immorality going on. But look at Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. I'm sorry. I just talked about that. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And then I'm going to tell you something that's really going to make you feel dumb. Well, not really dumb, but you're going to wish you didn't hear it. But Brother Dave showed it to me, so I got to talk about it now. Because, you know, misery loves company. So if I have to think about it, you're going to have to think about it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times." Now, it says something similar to this in Luke when it's talking about the west wind is bringing in a cloud, you know it's going to be rain, or if the south wind blows, you know it's going to be heat. And the same type of thing is said in Luke chapter 12, basically about discerning the signs of the skies and everything in there. And that's literally what's going on today. It's like, oh, the solar eclipse, the blood moon, and all this stuff. But they have no idea about what's going on when it comes to actual signs of the times and what the Bible actually says about it. Right. Now, read the next verse there in Matthew chapter 16, verse 4. It says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." Now, that should be where these people are stopped reading, because they're just constantly looking for a sign in the sky, some kind of constellation or something like that to point to them about when Jesus is coming back, instead of actually looking at what the Bible says you should be looking for. What is being said over and over again as far as what you should be looking for? The abomination of desolation. That's what you should be looking for. And if there's anything before that, it should be like, well, what were the times like in Noah's day? What were the times like in Lot's day? That's what you should be looking for. Very simple. Not solar eclipses, not lunar eclipses, not black holes, not anything, right? It's not telling you to look into the constellations and be like, hey, let's figure out when Jesus is coming back. But notice what it says here in verse 4. It says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seek after the sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, and he left them and departed." Should I even mention this? Now, let's understand that this is clearly talking about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, that there shall be no sign given to you but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Right. Clearly. But yet, there's people out there, okay? They're like, listen, you know this is a big deal because that eclipse is going through Jonah, Texas. It's passing through Jonah, Texas, and then it's going through all these places to say Nineveh. Listen, there's so many places called Nineveh in our United States, but it's like passing through Jonah and going through Nineveh like so many times. going up down the up through the line. It's the sign of the prophet Jonah. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about. The sign of the prophet Jonah was that the United States was going to have a place called Jonah, Texas. And therefore, that's why we should be looking for Jesus to come back, because of Jonah, Texas. Or Nineveh, Missouri, or something like that. I don't know where the Ninevehs were at. Someone's going to be like, it's not Nineveh, Missouri, it's Nineveh, Indiana. Oh, sorry. Shut my mouth. Isn't it funny, though, how, like, things haven't changed? You know when the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun? That is a true statement. Back in Jesus' day, he's stating that you know that if the sky's red at night, it's going to be a good day the next day, right? You know that if the sky's red in the morning, then it's probably going to be a storm. Something's going to happen. You know that if the south wind's blowing, it's bringing up the warm air from the south. You know that if you see the west wind blowing and it's bringing in a cloud, there's going to be rain. But you can't even fathom the sign of the times. You're just so ignorant about what the Bible says. And people spend their lives looking at these type of signs that the Bible doesn't even mention. So, I wasn't really planning on preaching, you know, this sermon when it comes to this, but I think it is a good lesson, though. And I don't think anybody, I'm not saying here anybody in the church is just like, oh, man, I was kind of duped by that Jonah thing. Honestly, I didn't see it until like 30 minutes ago. But Dave's just like, here's some fuel for your sermon. I did see someone post a video about like the is the sign of Jonah being fulfilled or something like that. I didn't watch it. And I'm like, that's odd. Why are they talking about that, right? Now I know. And now you know. So you're welcome. But ultimately, know this, is that there are things to look for. But the thing is that the Bible just clearly states what you're looking for. And I'm not going to get YouTube clicks off that. Like, people aren't going to be buying my, you know, like, dude, you like that material? Subscribe for more, you know? It's like, they're like, there's nothing more to subscribe to. It's just like, I just told you. It's like they're always holding back and be like, hey, there's some more. Hey, there's some really interesting information in this next video. And it's always like, it's a big nothing burger. So when it comes to let no man deceive you, Jesus mentions that before he even gets into explaining end times prophecy. And that's kind of, if you're getting into end times prophecy and you're wanting to study that out, you really need to take heed to what Jesus said. Let no man deceive you. It better be chapter and verse before you're like, yeah, that's dealing with end times prophecy. And even chapter and verse end times prophecy, there's a lot of unknowns as far as what it's going to be talking about. And people are going to take that and run with it and say, this is what it is, you know, and all that stuff. And, you know, we can all have some guesses on, like, what we think is going to happen, how that's going to play out. And I think that's interesting to think about and all that stuff. But don't teach that for doctrines of men, right? It's kind of like the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? It's like, well, we can all have ideas what we think that's going to be. But I can't sit here and tell you, like, this is exactly what it's going to be. This is how they're exactly going to, it's going to be at Walgreens, aisle 5. They're going to, like, implant it. You don't know. We don't know that type of information. So instead, stick with what the Bible clearly states. And don't be deceived by this type of stuff. And ultimately, enjoy the eclipse tomorrow. The world's not ending tomorrow. Okay? Enjoy it. Get a bowl of cereal or whatever you like to eat. And just, I think it's a fun time. I mean, I was excited, you know, like, oh, yeah, that's cool. You know, get to see that. Hopefully it's a clear day, you know, where you can see it and all that stuff. And then all this stuff, I'm just like, whoa, the world's ending on Monday. Didn't know about that. Like, you're a preacher and you don't know that? I mean, people will literally come and be like, how do you not know about what's going on here? Because it's not real. That's why. Because it's not biblical. Because you shouldn't be worried about it. So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that you help us not to be deceived by anybody that's out there. And Lord, just help us to stick to what your word says, obviously. But Lord, we know that you will be coming back. We don't know the exact, we don't know the day or the time. And obviously, you've given us some things to look for. But Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to understand your word and to be wise when it comes to those times, to know as soon as we can as far as what's going on. But ultimately, whatever time we're in, pray that you help us to serve you, to win souls to you. And ultimately, that's our whole duty, is to fear you and to serve you. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to do that. Lord, we love you. Pray all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Dave, we'll come and sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed.
All right, take your psalm books and turn to Song 150. Song 150 in your psalm books. We'll sing "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place," if you would stand. We'll sing Song 150. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that